Last time on Wanderlust.
Well, I'm so glad you decided to show up. I thought that you might decide that, you know, you were too good to learn to swim.
How could I decline lessons from someone as pretty as you?
Not thrilled with the notion of you leaving so soon and for an kind of indeterminate amount of time. Would you like to kiss me, Autumn?
She kisses her.
As you, like, start moving towards her, she backs up and goes, "Then come back from the wilds." I think you have a purpose to be in town now. So you all find yourself at Reef and Beef, which is on the coast. It's like...
Is it like the manatee beef?
Yeah, yeah, that is the Reef and Beef that it is talking about. Look, it is good food, but it's a tourist place. So like you walk in there and it's like there's definitely live music playing, like kind of a little bit too loud. The wait staff all wear costumes. It's that type of place, right?
This place seems pretty cool, isn't it? I've not been here before.
I don't know if cool's the word I would use for this, but they have really good margaritas.
I mean, have you seen what they do if it's your birthday?
Matthew, that's a new pin. Where did you get that from?
Oh, I got it from Chef Mitchell. So, here's the deal. So we...
What?
We, me and... Look, Mom, I can already tell you're gonna be mad.
Mitchell, what?
All right, so just calm down, all right?
Mitchell, what the f***?
Now, look, I heard what you said. What you told me was...
Did you?
I think so. What you told me was we needed to... prepare the town for when wild things happen to us. Now, Matthew was not particularly prepared, but he was by far the most prepared person we had. So, basically, I need an assistant to do that, and the best person I have in town to do that...
And you chose Matthew?
...is Matthew, yes.
Will you... please keep an eye on him for me.
That's basically what I'm doing. Like, either he does this with my help and with the help of some other people, or he's going to run off and do this by himself. Not unlike someone else I know, by the way.
I don't want to hear about that. All right, I'm not talking about me.
There's some things in common here, is what I'm saying.
I'm talking about Matthew.
I know that. And yes, I'll keep an eye on him. Can you keep an eye on the other three of your friends?
I haven't seen any evidence yet of them harming the ecosystem, but I am concerned in how that's affecting the area out here.
I mean, what they did to town was pretty destructive, so I'm also concerned about what it'll do to the ecosystem. Like, their nests destroyed houses.
You hear, like, a cracking, crunching sound. You can see right where that tree, the roots had been cut and broken by what looks like the mandibles of these giant bugs, and there's a seed planted there.
You all are still standing very close to the ruins. Like, if you look back to the west, you can still see the, you know, just far off in the trees, the beginnings of fallen stone buildings. You're all kind of standing in a river valley. So, you know, the land dips down to a river, a little stream where you'd found a lot of these sort of new and odd insects. As you walked east, Autumn, because you were kind of investigating those larger beetles, that's where you saw like an increasing number of them. They seem to be focusing around this little stream that's running sort of right past you. It's where a tree nearly fell on you. You kind of had to roll off into the stream to dodge this tree. And so you'd seen more and more of those almost, you know, like the mud dauber wasps, those nests that they make. It looks kind of like big versions of that, where these beetles have been digging up fertile soil and sticking these seeds down in them. And now I'm turning it over to you guys. What's everyone doing? What's everybody up to? Have you solved my bug puzzle?
I'm not 100% certain on this plan, but I feel like, should we be unearthing those seeds? I feel like we know that these creatures are invasive, and we should be maybe maintaining the wilds a bit more, kind of controlling the situation as best we can.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't hurt to see what they're burying over there.
I'm definitely inclined to agree. Oh, yeah, I'm very concerned with what they're doing to the area and the fact that they're knocking down, they're literally knocking down trees in order to plant these, so.
Yeah, and big trees at that, so it seems very invasive. But we should definitely be careful for the first one, because we have no idea what they're burying, right?
We know it's the seeds, right? The fuzzy seeds that was in okay. Fred's house?
Yeah, I think so.
Do we know what those seeds do?
We do not.
All right. Can I walk up to one of the piles and then stab it with my spear?
Yes.
I'm just trying to spear the seed out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that. You don't really need to make a roll for that. It's like
they're big, right? They're like bigger than a football, right?
No, like grapefruit.
Okay.
Not that. I guess that's similar size, but they're not like as big around as like, you know, they're big fist size.
Okay.
Which is still big. Like that's a freaking big seed.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just hope we don't make them mad when we take these seeds out, because I don't want to fight one of those things again.
It seems to have moved on, yes? It's skittered away, right, Cody?
The larger, like, builder beetles is what I'm calling them?
Yes. It, like buried it and then, like, skittered along to bury another one.
Right? One of them did. There's, like, Autumn saw several. They're still around. Okay. They're not, like, gone. There's many of these around here.
Okay.
Like, thinking about being in a forest and seeing deer, it's that common right now. So you've probably seen, like, one walk past as you had this conversation.
If we get a hold of one of those seeds, can I take out my... I have, like, a hunting knife, like a... I don't know.
Oh, do you want to cut it open?
Yeah, I want to cut it open.
Go for it.
Okay. Do I need to roll something,
or
do I
just... You know, just go ahead and roll me some kind of investigation, and narratively what we'll say you're doing is getting out your knife and hacking it open and trying to see what's in it.
Okay. I'm going to say I could probably either use inquisitive danger sense... Or cooking, if I'm trying to, you know, slice it in a specific way.
Just like avocados.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
You know what? Actually, do cooking. Do cooking.
Cool. That's a 5.
Okay. Well, with a 5, that's really impressive. So, I'm going to try to think about the right way to put this in terms of, like, earth vegetables, right? So, when you get down to it, there aren't that many vegetables on our planet, which is to say that, like, Caitlin's giving me a look, right? If you say cabbage, that covers like 80% of green vegetables.
Cabbage, broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts. They're all the same species.
Are all the same vegetable. Yeah, they're all very close and at times literally descendants of each other. Like you just, like if you grow broccoli and cabbage and Brussels sprouts, the plant looks the same. And then one of them turns into an alien freak of nature, and the other one turns into a head of lettuce. Brussels sprouts are freaky.
Yeah, they're all like the same species, just with slightly different genes that are more dominant to produce bigger bulbs or bigger leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so funny. You guys keep doing this backwards. Like, because Estelle's the animal person and Juliet's the botanist. And you, the whole time it's like Estelle's asking plant questions, Juliet's asking animal questions. So you cut it open and the like initial sprout pops out and the leaves that shoot out are extremely strange to you because they're huge for the size of plant this is, right? For this to be the like first shoot thing that would be coming out of a sprouting plant, like a germinating seed, it's really big. The coloring is also wrong. Like I think on Earth, it's extremely uncommon to see like a blue leafed plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just for whatever reason, blue is really uncommon. Similar to here, like maybe there's like a certain hue of like a light green that you almost never see, right? And that's what you see immediately. I would also say that it has like a, not like a phosphorescence, but like, you know, like how like some colors have like a glow to them, like a shimmery kind of like
sheen
rainbow pattern to them. It's like what fishing lures look like, you know?
Yeah.
Opalescence.
Yeah, an opalescence. That's perfect. It has like an opalescence to it, which is also odd and you would not typically see in plants. And like just everything about it is wrong. It's too thick. It's the wrong color. It's the wrong consistency. None of this strikes you as not only is it something that you wouldn't expect to see in this region, like on this, this is not a typically a thing that you would see here. It's weird. It's just very odd. And like when you look at it, you go like, oh, this might be the other thing is like there's certain markers that you can use to determine if plants are poisonous, right?
Oh, yeah, I have a chemistry kit for that.
Well, right. And You know what? Honestly, I'm going to say, can I like play for your character here for a second and say you get out your chemistry set and do that test to see if this is poisonous. And it yields like invalid test.
I do two tests to make sure.
Yeah, they both fail. It's inconclusive, right? Like doesn't give a result. The test strip doesn't show up, you know? But similar to like mushrooms, you know how there's like, if you can see the ribs on them and there's like three other things, you can pretty much assume it's not poison. It's not that it has poisonous markers. It doesn't have any of the markers you would use to determine if a plant is poisonous or not.
Estelle is going to make sure that Juliet is nearby while she's doing this so she can see all of that as well.
That's all wrong. None of that makes sense.
That's kind of what I was feeling too. I don't remember if it was you or if it was Autumn who said that maybe they're from the moon people, but honestly, I'm kind of leaning towards that after this.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that was Autumn, but I am of that opinion as well. Now, to prove it to the rest of the scientific community, that's a bigger problem. But anyway, we've unearthed it.
I'm curious what Doc Mollin found. I assume he would have done the same thing that I would have when you gave it to him.
He didn't do it in front of me. He seemed interested.
Yeah, no, I that's what I mean, is I assume he would have done something similar in his own testing to see what it is. And I don't want to say I'm surprised we didn't hear anything, but considering how dangerous these beetles seem to be in terms of like destroying the environment, and we don't know what this is, so I don't know. I'm very lost.
Now I'm wondering what Doc Marlin knows. If he's been getting artifacts for a while now, Maul's been finding them. I wonder if he has this theory as well. I mean, it's certainly possible that we go out on our first foray into the wilds and stumble upon moon people, and nobody else has done that before. But this makes me wonder if it's a bit more widespread than we thought, since not a lot of people go into the wild, so we might just not know. Am I making sense?
You are. And then this is where I don't know where we go from here, because I don't know if we follow where, like, you know, we can kind of see where the beetles are, so I don't know if those are, you know, are dropping from whatever that storm was. I mean, I assume they seem to have come at the same time, so I assume they were connected. So I don't know if we kind of follow that, or I don't know if we go in the opposite direction and see if any of those seeds have grown and we figure out what it is. I guess to stop the storm, we need to follow the trail that's been left for us.
I want to make a comment real quick, just because you're bringing up something really valid and important and interesting. I actually need to kick back over to my map here to kind of... I'm going to pull back a...
Show the trajectory of the direction of like where the beetles are coming and going?
No, there's some curtains I want to pull back just to like make sure you guys are, because you're asking a really valid question, which is like, am I right to assume right now your guess is the beetles came from whatever large giant walked past your settlement? And so like
you mean the storm, right? Wink, wink.
So like came from the storm. The storm came from somewhere and is going somewhere, right?
That is my assumption.
So I just want to speak plainly on that because, like, Autumn would have been able to figure out from her roles. So, right now you're standing on the north bank of a stream, right? If you look down the stream, you can see, like, these beetles, right, going that way.
Like, they're walking that way? Like, they have, like, a direction?
You could, like, if you look down the stream, you can see the effects of the beetles being there if you look east, right, from where you are right now.
Okay.
East is not the direction you saw a giant walking on your way back. You saw a giant basically walking kind of parallel to you guys.
But north of us.
So, okay, if you look at the roll 20, right?
We were walking northwest and we saw a giant walking parallel with us going northwest from the southeast part of the map up northwest towards our home.
Yeah, so basically look at it like this. Your options are east is the direction you can see that there is the effect of something happening, right? So if you go east, that is seemingly the direction that this creature is going. If you go, like, southeast, you might start to see where it has been.
Okay.
So I would say both of those have value and advance the plot. You're not going to shoot yourself in the foot by choosing either of these options, but they are different options.
Okay.
And I would also say one does not immediately negate the other. Like, if you want to go and say, hey, we want to see what it was like, where it was, you could go like half a day's journey that way and then come back and keep going, you know, if you wanted to do that.
Right. Yeah. So we could go southeast. That's the direction that we went before. So we'd know what we were running into, but what we're running into is toads and giant birds, which I'm not the biggest fan of, honestly.
And Bobiliuses.
And Bobiliuses, yes. Or we could go east, track the bugs, see if that is the direction that the storm creature ended up.
I would say based on what we were asked to do, which is stop a storm like that from happening again. Based on that, I would say my gut instinct is to go east following the beetles. I don't know if we'll ever catch up to it, but I feel like that's a more figuring out what that was in the first place. I do, as somebody who is interested in these beetles not destroying more of the environment, I would be interested at some point going southeast again, at least a little bit at some point, to see what the damage is and what is going on with the plants that the seeds that they've planted. But I am okay doing the other one first and following where the beetles are going.
Right. The other problem that I think going east solves for a bit is we would have to cross this stream. So we might just keep an eye out for an easier crossing than the current one.
I wanna say stream is stream, less than like waist deep, fairly narrow.
Oh,
not
okay.
It's not like a mile across. You could walk it and you'd get your legs damp.
No, I know. It's just like getting soaked from the waist down isn't great if we're gonna be hiking all day.
That's true.
That's kinda sucky.
I know that the beetle was aware of Fred when he saw it and didn't attack, which is great, but I'm also okay kind of making a way around it a little bit so we can avoid the stream, and we're on the north side, so we can keep going kind of northeast, mm-hmm. maybe around until we find a better way around the stream and kind of keep an eye on, because I mean, it's a, as far as we can tell, it was a some kind of giant, right? So there's got to be like downed trees and things that we can keep an eye on its for like where its path was.
One would hope so. So that sounds like a good plan. We keep going east, northeast, walking along the north bank of this stream and unearthing seeds if we think it's safe to.
I think that's a good plan. Autumn, Fred, any objections?
I defer to your judgment, Estelle.
Yeah, I'm going to leave all that science stuff to you guys. I'll trust whatever you guys say we should do.
Okay, northeast it is.
Okay, so make me a... So this is where, if you want, you can try to get some like hints about what is coming in that direction. That's like the scouting stuff. Or you can make, basically all of you make like a navigation check, add whatever thing you do to help as you're walking along. That kind of determines distance.
And this is something we can all roll for, right?
Yes, you all roll and we take an average, basically.
We're rolling some kind of notice.
Yeah. Just tell me what skill you're rolling.
Seven? Yeah.
It's like Autumn doing anything athletic.
What were you rolling with?
My notice, which is +4.
Well, it's a good thing that she got a +7, because with my notice, I got a -1.
I'm also about to drag us down. I got a 0 with danger sense.
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up something of my character, and I thought I had everything open, but I did not have my character sheet open, so I apologize.
How dare you?
I got a +1. Sorry, I used perception.
No, you're good.
So Caitlin rolled a 7, and yet our average was just below 2.
Really?
Yeah, because you roll a 7, I had minus 1, Zach had plus 1, Mandy had 0. So you're 7 divided by the 4 of us.
I know.
Julia's going to have to take us all out on like perception or on notice lessons.
I see all. I am all. Everybody else is running into trees.
Okay, so you guys don't get very far before things get weird. But as you walk, the kind of morning's waning on a little bit. You did spend a long time back there at the like old, you know, at the ruins, just kind of checking out the bugs. As you walk, the forest grows deeper. So even though you can still definitely see indications of these bugs crawling around in the river and outside of it, if anything, they're getting thicker and more concentrated, like they haven't dispersed yet, you know? So if you can imagine, lots of them drop right in front of you, like in a certain area and then spread out, like seems like they're a little bit more concentrated here, but still not necessarily hostile. One difference that you do see, though, as you're walking is the natural life that was here before is a little bit more present. So the further you get from the ruins, like I said, forest grows a little bit thicker. So as you're walking, you can suddenly see a little bit more indication of like normal natural life. You can occasionally see like some mammalian things skittering around, you know, like those big, like kind of hostile squirrels that collect bones. You might see a few of those jumping on trees, you know, maybe a few deer here and there. And as you're walking, you start to hear a new sound, something that almost sounds like singing. It is like a fluctuating pitch up and down. It almost sounds like a humming or a buzzing. Anyone want to do some like perception checks, anything like that as we go forward here? This would be like a danger sense time, I will say.
Yeah, I think I want to do that.
I have investigate. I don't know if that's...
I'm going to say no. It's fine. We don't. All of you rolling is not going to make this any better for you.
Okay.
That's a 1.
Okay. So, Estelle, this almost makes you feel more comfortable, right? You're like, okay, like, it's not like total blight, right? There's some good here. Something's happening that's all right. And then all of a sudden it's like your hackles rise and you're just like, something doesn't feel right. And then you hear like a tumbling of loud footsteps and like right into a clearing in front of you, sliding down towards like a meadow around the river. You see a, I'm going to say giant, but understand it's giant to you, like 400-pound sized bear just slides like 20 yards in front of you, just kind of like slides back down. And it's like on its haunches, teeth bared, claws out, not looking at you. And then about an equally sized praying mantis comes crashing out of the forest towards it. You can see it has like on its front kind of like long pointy scyther-like claws. You can see that there's blood on them as it and the bear start fighting. And this is nuts to watch. Like it is pretty rare that you see something bear-sized fighting a bear as it's taking swipes at this bug. The bug is like leaning backwards and jabbing at it. You can tell that like the bug is taller and spindlier, but the bear is obviously stockier and like the claws just aren't quite digging deep enough to get through all the fur and pelt of this like sort of scarred looking old bear that's fighting this thing. The only other thing that you notice like right off the bat, these bugs are similarly opalescent kind of, like it has like a shimmer to it along its like carapace. The bug's face is, it's not like a human torso, but it is like its torso like lifts up and then, you know, it has like those long claws sticking out in front of it. It's has like, you know, the kind of like hive eyes, I don't know what you call like the multi-eye things, right? Where it's like a mesh looking eyes and a relatively small face, but the face right now is glowing a bright purple. And the humming is kind of like going in a downward crescendo. It's just like, which is a weird thing to hear next to the sound of a roaring bear, right? So it's like bear snarls and then like very loud buzzing as this mantis is just stabbing at a bear that's, you know, like taking bites and ripping at it with its claws.
Is the mantis making them mirror sound?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to like, it doesn't, it's not coming from its mouth, but yes.
Okay.
I vote
we hide right now? And Juliet is going to like slowly sink down so that are there like grasses here? She's going to try to find cover is what I'm saying.
That's fine.
Whether that's like red grass, like in Horizon Zero Dawn or...
Caitlin, that makes no sense. It'd need to be purple grass.
Right. Whether that's grass or if that's shrubs or a tree, she wants to find
It's so
cover.
Convenient. There's a patch of red grass, next to a patch of purple grass, next to a patch of green grass.
For all our characters' skin tones. So yeah, that's what I would like to do.
What's everyone else doing?
We don't have any, like, trees or anything around, or it's just, like, grass?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be, like, standing on the edge of a clearing, right? And then this bear kind of, like, slid into view, and you're like, oh my gosh. So you still have trees around you, like, behind you. Yeah.
I'd like to hide behind a tree.
Yeah, Fred is also going to hide behind a tree.
Estelle is going to signal to Guffy to get down, because he's with us. Hi, Guffy. She's also going to get behind a tree. But she's going to try to take some pictures of these animals.
Oh, okay, cool.
Autumn will be near Estelle in case something happens, because Estelle's the least hidden. She'll also be hiding, or in cover, or however you want to say it.
So everyone's trying to hide, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I guess this is my question. No one's intervening at the moment.
No.
No.
Okay. So you all hunker down, and I'll say right now you don't need to do any checks for that just yet.
You sound surprised that I don't want to intervene with a 400-pound praying mantis. And I'm like,
no, no, it doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay. This is not, you know, you're not, you know, putting any salt in my stew.
Just the way you said it, you're like, oh, so none of you are intervening? And I'm like, you put a 400-pound praying mantis? I never would intervene in that.
So this fight goes fast. Like, basically the first time the mantis gets one claw actually deep enough to do damage, the bear starts stumbling. You can see it bleeding out. This meadow is, like, immediately awash in blood as the mantis just, like, finally gets one lucky shot off and just stabs it through the head. Now I need all of you to make sneak-ish checks.
Athletics?
Nope.
Okay.
Would you give me deceit?
In this case, no, but that might come up here in a minute.
Then I don't think I have anything.
CrossFit.
No.
All right, composed.
I'll give you composed. Composed.
Can I use stealth?
Yes.
No, I can't use that. I'm just rolling straight then. I have nothing.
That's fine. That's fine. So, Caitlin, we're starting with you.
Zero.
Mandy?
Two.
Zach?
Two.
Vinny?
One.
Okay, so, Caitlin, you watch as this... Sorry, give me one second.
How does Juliet die?
She doesn't.
By a giant praying mantis, apparently.
So, Juliet, you're watching this unfold, and you kind of, like, peek out a little bit to stare at this, and so this mantis has this kind of, like, sickly-looking purple face, right? Claw stabs the bear. Bear dies. Pulls the claw out, and its face just kind of goes to, like, this blank, like, grayish opalescence, right? And then it just turns and stares right at you. And, like, the buzzing stops. Its face goes, like, totally stony. And then the buzzing is like, bzz, 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 and its face turns green. And it just stares at you and starts walking slowly. Just going bzz,
bzz. Like towards her?
Yeah, towards you. Just slowly walking towards Juliet. Green face, just going bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz. Wait, you said its face is green now?
Its face is green now.
Yeah, its face is green now. It used to be purple. I think Juliet, so I imagine she was, like, kind of crouched behind a tree.
Yep.
I think she's gonna stay crouched.
It's, like, made eye contact with you, right? Like, it's, like, locked eyes.
Right, yeah. Yes, so Juliet has locked eyes with this creature. She's gonna stay crouching, but kind of, like, crab walk sideways. Like, kind of, like, so that she's, like, rotating with it at the center, but moving the direction that we ultimately want to be going. But she's still facing it. Does that make sense?
Yes. And you don't close distance?
No.
Okay, the speed of the buzzing increases and it moves a little bit faster, but it's still going up in pitch, swing, bzzz, bzzz, And the green, like, intensifies on its face as it keeps getting closer and closer, and the buzzing gets louder and louder and more, like, frequent, right?
Okay. I think she would stop by a tree and see if it stops. Like, moving seemed to agitate it. Does stopping calm it down?
You stop, and its face, like, the buzzing goes steady, face stays green, but you can start seeing, like, a little bit of that purple wash over it. Just, like, streaks of purple swirling in its face.
Oh, no! Can I throw a stick, not at it?
Shoot, hang on a second. What color is your skin?
Light purple.
Oh, shoot, that's bad, actually. that, like, initial curiosity, as soon as it, like, gets close enough to see you, like, you can see more of the purple, like, washing in. It's, like, more and more, like, quickly washing out that green that was in its face is now just quickly turning purple the closer it gets to you.
Can I step out and yell at it?
Yeah? Do you want to do anything else besides that?
My goal is to get it to look away from Juliet, because I see the, I'm assuming I see the purple happening.
Yeah, okay. What color skin do you have as well?
I have red.
Sure, okay, yeah, jump out. So,
do I need to make a roll to distract it or something?
Yes.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to move opposite, because Juliet moved like a little bit out into the clearing. I want to go opposite side, so it like can't like it so it's flanked basically.
Do you and you said you shout, right?
Yes. Like not like angry shout, but like noise shout.
Yeah. Just like jump out like, hey.
Yeah.
So you jump out, go, hey, it looks over, sees you. Its face also turns red and that buzzing just becomes a pulsing. It just goes like, and it starts reeling back. And like, you see it spin once, like it's looking around and then it locks like right back on Juliet. Its face goes all purple and it starts getting closer to her, like now seeming hostile.
Okay, I want to try something real fast.
Sure.
Estelle is going to come out. She's going to take out her kalimba and she's going to play the same tone, like the ascending tone.
Oh.
What color are you?
I'm light brown and I have like green on like in the shadows
okay,
of the face.
Okay. Okay. So roll me a, like, convince or performance check.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, like, I just want everyone in the game to realize something, like, the audience. I forgot while I was planning this and everything about this encounter that I, like, have drawn out on this piece of paper, that all of you have pretty pronounced, like, very different bright colored toned skins.
I would say Fred and I are pretty, like, we would match the environment.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like you're...
It's not, like, human skin tones.
You all look very different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, substantively different. And that matters a great deal in this case, and I kind of forgot that.
To be fair, I thought my thought was that Autumn matches the environment of the desert.
Okay, I'm gonna use... I have a skill for my kalimba, that's a 2.
Okay, so you hop out, you start playing that, you said you match its tone, right?
Yes.
So you jump out, it looks at you, it hears that tone, its face starts to like kind of, it now is looking kind of weird to stare at because it has many swirling colors on kind of a small face. So you see green come back, there is still purple, and I would say its whole face is kind of like a grossly ripened tomato, like it's all a little bit red. And it looks at you and goes, bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. So you're playing like notes ascending and it starts going descending.
Okay. I want to match it.
Okay. So you match it. Its face turns more green. Its pulsing slows and it is now just kind of like locked on you, but it still has like a very orange hue to it. So it's like, you can tell that like the front of its face is kind of like this. It's like, it looks like if you had a green face and it was sunburned, you know?
Yeah. Estelle's just going to keep doing that. I don't know what it understands, but I've got its attention.
So it's locked on Estelle right now?
Yeah. And as soon as you talk, you see it like it doesn't attack, but it just like freaks out. It just gets confused. Like,
oh,
It's just like flailing a little bit and just like not like lashing out, but like almost like you talking confused it or like almost hurt it.
If Juliet starts moving slowly again, does it notice?
You got to try to move.
Okay. Like, do I have to roll or do I just move?
Nope. You can just say you try to move.
Okay. I'm going to try to take like one step sideways.
You take one step sideways and it like stamps a claw down and stares at you and its face turns purple.
I stop.
Yeah. So it's still like tomato red, green underneath, and like kind of like walks closer to Estelle and kind of like hunches down on the ground near Estelle, just kind of like listening to that sound.
Are we going to have to like nap time this praying mantis? This feels too real. I've tried to escape from a dark bedroom of a toddler too many times for this to feel good.
Okay, so yeah, it just kind of like sits there. And the longer this goes on, its face kind of like washes back to just like a bare, like grayish sort of opalescence with maybe like a hue of red on it. And it just kind of like crouches. Do you want to do anything else at this point?
Juliet does not.
Estelle is just going to keep its attention. That is, I think she's kind of doing that thing where she's looking at like making eye contact with the three of you and looking back at it and shrugging and just like.
So eventually it's maybe a few minutes. It just kind of sits there, chill. And then you see it kind of like shake itself. It stands up. A lot of the red is now washed all the way back out of its face. Its face like flashes green and yellow and it starts to buzz like up against, which is like bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. And then it just stops doing that. It goes back to gray and stares at you.
Okay, I do the upward, the crescendo.
Okay.
And I now pronounce you woman and mantis.
come on, Zach. Mantis and wife. Mantis and wife.
It like steps around almost like, you know, like when a dog does like the headward, the side head thing, and then it backs up slowly. You see as it turns, it like its eyes pass by Juliet for a second. Its face flashes purple, goes back to being kind of blank, and wanders off into the woods. What do you guys do?
Hooray! We solved your mantis puzzle.
I think Juliet stays very still until she cannot see or hear it, and then some.
I think Estelle probably makes one of the first moves. Does anything run back at us?
No, you guys are fine.
Okay, maybe walk, but fast onward?
That sounds fine.
Let's go.
Estelle, you're amazing.
I'll have to thank my mom for teaching me that one.
I don't think I've ever loved the kalimba so much as I do right now.
My GM question is, are you following the mantis or are you following the river?
Where did the mantis go in relation to the river?
It would have gone, so the river keeps going from where you guys are.
It keeps going east.
The river continues on east. The mantis would have gone north.
Which way does it look like the builder bugs are going?
You see clear indication, like maybe even at this point, some knocked down trees because the trees are much larger. So like the tallest trees maybe you could see have been like snapped over and fallen, some of them across the river. So the builder bugs are definitely following the river, right? Okay. There's like a clear path of destruction along this river. The mantis goes off north and you don't really know how far.
I feel like Juliet would have had plenty of time to notice this. That praying mantis did not look like the smaller versions that we saw, right? That ended up in like the garden.
It doesn't look like it does not look like a copy. You know what I mean? It's not like take this, size it up. It is a distinctly different insect. The fact that its torso was so flexible, the claws were much longer, it was way thinner of an insect, like it's
not the same one.
Yeah, it was much more spindly, it was a lot faster, and its I would say its eyes were way more pronounced, and its face could do a lot more with like color changing.
Okay, so we're not looking at another expanded version of
like an adult versus a kid, potentially.
No, no, this does not. This would not strike you as this would grow into this. That would be like, that'd be an insane amount for one thing to grow. You know, like, you know how big a bear cub is, right?
Well, you know, crazy things happen out here.
I'm not insulting that question. I don't mean to come off that way. I just mean that, like, from the evidence presented to you, that is not the conclusion that you would come to.
Okay. Did the little bugs have opalescence to them or no?
I would say so far every insect you've looked at has had a similar sheen to its carapace.
Okay.
A nugget I did tell you, and I think maybe went pretty unnoticed, was the builder beetles, the dead one you looked at. It you guys like deduced from looking at it that it would have had some like pigmentation alteration ability.
I do remember that.
Well, its eyes did change colors, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was. Its eyes changed color.
So this mantis looks like it has the same opalescent shell as well then?
Yes. And two things so far have shown the ability to change colors.
Okay, so these all seem related then.
Yeah.
So following the river still? With eyes out for more mantises?
That seems like a better idea because the mantises seem very dangerous. And to not like us, Juliet?
Yep. I'd like to stay far away.
Yeah, I agree. I think we continue because I definitely don't like the way it was looking at Juliet or you, Autumn.
Can't say it's the best introduction I've had to something new.
Okay, so we're gonna make another like wandering around roll.
Autumn is consistent.
Oh, that's much better.
You said we're making another like notice type roll.
Yeah, marching roll, you know. How far do you go before there's an event? Last time you guys got two squares.
Minus one.
Okay, so has everyone rolled?
Yes.
All right. Cat Lion.
I got a 3.
Okay. Mandy?
I also got a 3.
Heck yeah. Zach?
Autumn got a 1.
Fred?
Minus 1.
Oh, dang. Okay. I wish there was more swing in this, but it averages out because it's multiple of you rolling and then dividing by 4. But anyways.
I guess that's something to keep in mind when we update our skills is that we need better notice.
You know what, Cody? I'll spend a fate point to just learn an aspect.
What aspect do you want to learn?
That's a skill I have.
Oh, what aspect do you want to learn? Or do you want me to decide for you?
You can decide because I don't remember any of the categories we have.
Okay, give me a moment. You walk along through, I'll give you an aspect here in a second after this little chunk of narration. So, you know, sun's setting, it's getting to be afternoon. As you guys walk, this trip is getting more and more difficult. There is obvious destruction the further you go. It's both a time thing, but also a closeness to the path you're noticing. Like, you were kind of on the outskirts of where whatever happened, right? It didn't hit directly on Smoky Banks. So you guys were kind of walking into the edge of it, and now you're walking into, like, properly right along where some devastation happened, right? So you can see trees knocked over, especially the tallest ones seem to have fallen. It's making your path far more difficult. The river at this point is starting to widen. You know, it's no longer an easy walk across it. You're now, like, looking at a fairly wide river. And basically what you come to now is the river forks, right? So you can see far down, the river gets pretty wide. It almost looks like a flowing lake, you know, like far off down east, right? But there's a branch that splits off from it and goes north, and that's just a river that is flowing up north. So, like, the land slopes down that way, and the river where you're standing right now is still pretty wide, right? Like, wide enough that just walking across, you'd be swimming, you know, and it's, like, rocky. There's maybe some, there would be falls here at this point as it starts to, like, this branch off, you know, like, you know, flows down over some rocks. So if you look out east, like the main body of the river, if you look like east and a little bit south, it almost looks like there's a lake there. Further down east, like I said, the river just keeps getting wider and wider and wider. But it is east that you, it's further east that you see the river continue. The area that you're walking down to, like I said, so you're actually kind of, if you went north, right, land slopes off pretty quickly from here. There's some waterfalls around. As you made this walk, right, this next couple of miles here as you went, sun starting to come down, you can see evidence of more of these fights happening, right? Like, you see occasional dead wolves, deer, like clear indications that there have been fights. You might even see a few of these mantises like skittering off in the distance. Probably one of the times you saw one like stop, you guys like shove Juliet down, maybe just like had Estelle play on her Kalimba and just look up as the, you know, it just like wandered off, you know, and never really approached again. The area that you've gotten to now is a little bit more open, right? You're on the edge of a forest and the water in front of you is big enough that you can actually like see up into the sky for the first time. And further out east, you can see like the tops of trees that have knocked over, right? And again, you've hit a point where there is very little sound of animals, right? Not a lot of nature noises. But as you guys stand and kind of look across this fork in the river, waterfall down north, widens out to the east. You're looking up into the sky, seeing all that devastation, and you see something that kind of makes your like heart skip a beat, which is wings. Like in the sun, you just see like flapping of bird wings, right? As this bird soars around this area, right? Now, this kind of like large circling of a bird, you kind of know is like all of you, it's like a red flag getting cover. That's a hunting bird. And you see it dive down, not near you, right? Just dive down. As it gets closer, you realize this is a freaking big bird, right? And you see it like hit the ground and immediately come back up holding one of those giant beetles as it like slams its head forward, like rips a head off and just starts like chewing, you know? And is just kind of circling this area, eating its meal in midair as it like flaps and just kind of hovers up above the water. As you watch this bird, it's kind of like a terrifying thing to see, right? This huge thing flying and eating. You hear a sharp, shrill buzzing, just like a pulsing buzzing sound, as from like the trees off to the east, you see something shoot up out of the ground. It looks like a giant hornet, you know, just launches itself off the ground. It has similar mandibles to the praying mantis that you saw earlier, but also has massive glossy wings that are beating rapidly as it buzzes its way up towards this bird. And right at the last moment, you see them both starting to like bank around each other up high in the sky as you watch two giant aerial creatures fighting above this river branch. And I will say what you guys need to decide now is, do you want to go around the river branch or try to cross the river underneath these birds? Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.